Welcome back to another podcast. Well, today I had the great pleasure of speaking to Beverly Poole. Beverly's an award-winning business and executive personal mentor, and she's helped over 5,000 movers and executives so far. And her plan is to implement strategy with insightful and practical advice. She's an e-learning entrepreneur and a LinkedIn local host and a careers ambassador. Today we're talking all about communication and how important it is and lots more. You're going to really love this. We talk about two different types of communication, why we only see the world through our own eyes and experiences, about human communication, technology communication, what was her biggest aha moment, what is the Peter Principle, that's an interesting one, and also the Argyle Method. Loads of stuff on this in this podcast, so I really hope you enjoy it. Let's go over to it now. Beverly, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me, Simon.
Excellent. So we're going to be talking all about communications. So communication, I always say, you know, the quality of your life is the quality of your communication. And in terms of business,
yeah,
communication is absolutely key for any projects. And you can span it to everything, in relationships, everything. It's all down to communication. If you want someone to get the right work for you, you need to communicate it properly. So tell me more about your experience with communication.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I wanted to bring to your audience, which was about the different types of communication. And something that actually started this conversation between you and I was when I actually said, we only see the world through our own eyes and experiences. And because of that, we tend to do things like we judge, we look at people, we wonder about what they're talking about, et cetera, et cetera. So I sort of split it down into human communication and technology communication, really. So human communication obviously is the key to everything. It's how we become advocates, interpreters, you know, translators, signers, that type of thing. Those are all the ways that humans communicate. And with technology, of course, which has just developed massively over the last few years, you know, we can now just talk and all the lights go off in the house if you talk through your Google smart box, whatever it is. So communication can mean a whole bunch of things, can't it? In business, I found that there was a theorist actually that I came across, and his name was Tuckman. And Tuckman talks about these stages of interaction in communication for business as when people are pulling together as a team. So you've got people, different people in different teams in business. And when you put them all together, they didn't ask to be put together. So you're just trying to form this team. And then once the team gets together, they storm where they are. They, you know, sort of vie for a place, who they think they are, what they want to achieve. And then when everybody sort of has sorted themselves out and decided who they are in the team, then they all sort of start to norm and then they start to perform. So teams coming together in communication is really the skill of the person that's actually managing that process. So good things that sort of come out of that are things like people playing to their strengths because of their communication. You know, you wouldn't ask the very shy, retiring, reflective person maybe to be the salesperson, the spokesperson in the team. So it's good to get things like work profiles for teams and getting everybody to communicate with their best skills. Is that sounding about right to you? How does that sound?
No, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Has there been a time where you've been in a meeting or working with a group of people and you've changed the communication? You've seen that it hasn't been working and you've thought, actually, hang on a minute, this is all about the communication, and you've changed it around. Has there been a time when you've had that aha moment and went, this was it?
Yes, because you've got people that like to control situations. We talked about this before. People like to control situations because they either don't have the knowledge or the skill sometimes, which comes across as being a little bit low on self-esteem. And I studied psychology, so it's as part of my degree. So it's really, I find that fascinating, is the behaviours of people in communicating within meeting settings. Similarly, we've got this thing called the Peter Principle, which is where people are talking and they've really hit the ceiling of their knowledge of a particular subject. And the Peter Principle talks about that in terms of then becoming uncomfortable within a situation when people have got to communicate. So it's always best to, I think, to talk in a specific way. And I've got a 10-point plan that I apply in workshops that I hold about communication skills. And the thing is about meetings, Simon, and changing the way that we're speaking to other people, there's a reason for that, I think. And the one of the reasons is what we call like, know, and trust, because it takes 4 seconds for somebody to decide if they what they're seeing in front of them. And then the next bit of that communication cycle is people listening to what you've got to say and then interpreting that in a specific way. And as part of training courses that I hold, I use another theory, which is called Argyle. So Argyle's style of communication is when you an idea occurs in somebody's head and they've got to code that message to get over to their audience. And that's the point that you've just made. And once that message has been sent and the person that you're talking to has received it, they will interpret that in their own way because they're coding it with their own knowledge of communication or where they've got to with their own life. Once they've understood it in their own way, they may say, could you just say that again? Or can you clarify that? That would be a really emotionally intelligent person coming across there asking for more information about a particular subject. So the whole, if you wrote a communication cycle as a circle and what you have got to get in that cycle from 1 to 12, let's say, if we're looking at a clock face, it's the same in training as getting somebody from one side of a bridge to the other, imparting information so that somebody takes that information away in an appropriate way. So to answer your question, yeah, there's been lots of times when I've had to change my own particular style, which is fairly straightforward. And you know, I'm sort of feel very confident to talk to people. And so this 10-point plan that I use is very much about like, know, and trust. So by introducing yourself and your and who you are, it gives people an understanding, and also it develops an authority for you to speak. So if you talk to people about your work and case studies and things that you've maybe worked across, people like to liken your experience to what they know so they can become in tune. So this whole subject of communication is about being in tune with the other person. It's like body language, which is nonverbal, obviously. And the way that we communicate it, as humans is through voice. There's a whole bunch of ways that you can build this authority.
Yeah, and you've talked about body language, and it's something that's been hard and very draining in this time of lockdown and everyone on Zoom, because we do look at body language. We just pick up on it. And because of these Zoom calls, we have to work even harder. Yeah. You can tell if someone's tense by how they're holding themselves, but we can't see that on Zoom. So our brains are having to work so much harder. But we talked all about communication here, but I think one of the biggest things as well is actually listening. Someone once said to me, you've got one mouth but two ears.
Yeah, that's right. Active listening skills.
Yeah.
And you get that, don't you, by asking lots of questions. And that's very much a style that you and I would approach when we were talking to other people. So you will ask me a question, I will respond. And it's really, if you're trying to be a consultant, which we have a lot of people, working in service type industries, who have had to take their businesses online over this sort of lockdown period. It's really challenging, because if you're on a Zoom call and you can actively listen to what somebody's saying, like we've just done previously when we've been talking online. Now, I'm very interested in what you were talking about in terms of flow and energy. And it's then creating a sort of an environment where people feel able to speak. So if you're in a group situation, just taking this back to a work scenario, is if there's somebody in the team that's fairly quiet, you might give them the opportunity to speak in a different way. So you could maybe within your group session have a questionnaire, which is a written questionnaire, which is nonverbal. You can watch people's body language, or you give people the opportunity to answer or to talk verbally. So yes, so the answer, or the point that you've made there, is yeah, two ears and one mouth in that order, which we used to talk about when I worked a very long time ago in the City of London. Listen to what your clients need.
Yeah, it's also important to, so when you've because we all interpret things differently, as you said right at the beginning, we only see the world through our own eyes and experiences. So I was listening. And
well done.
But it's if you're briefing in something or you're communicating something, it's worth just saying, did you understand? Just tell me back what you, I mean, not in a patronizing way, but do it in your own style, but just actually can explain to me how you see it working or something. Yeah. Like that. Then so it makes me feel validated. And it's a sign of respect as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, so when you're actually going through a conversation, as I just said, if you think about that cycle as being a circle, is has the person actually understood that? You know, so you can interject there, can't you, saying, is there anything else that I need to let you know about? You know, would you like me to give you an example? Is there any statistics I can add to that for you? Does that align with what you're actually talking about? You know, so there's lots of different ways that you can send an open question, for example, who, what, when, where, and why. If you ask a question that's just got a yes or no answer, you're not going to get any more out of that conversation, but it is certainly a way of controlling a conversation and certainly ending it. So by saying something like, is that okay? Have I told you enough? It's a yes or no answer. Open questions to gain more knowledge if somebody is a little bit more quiet, let's say, for example, would be, so how does that sit with you? How does that align with your experiences? You know, it's an open question that will get another response. Does that sort of sound about right to you, Simon?
Absolutely. Yeah. There you go. See, that's communication. Do you ask me then, does that sound right about you?
Yeah.
But I know we've done this. I'm going to say it from a male point of view. It seems sort of the alpha male, you know, you're listening to someone, another guy, and they're telling them about their experiences, and you're already thinking about what you're going to say, which would top what they're going to say. You know, it's like, well, yes, I run a marathon. Oh, I actually ran two back to back, you know, with no feet. It's just like, oh, just, and it's just, you know, that kind of grating. It's like, well, you actually haven't listened, and you know enough about that person. I mean, one of the greatest pleasures I have is interviewing people such as yourself. You learn so many people. Where I live around here, I swim every morning. As regular listeners to this, we'll put in all the coffee mornings. I swim throughout the year. And you meet everyone, and we're all in our bathing costumes. We're all looking a bit rough first thing in the morning. But when you actually chat to them and you find out their stories, it is amazing. I mean, there's a guy down here who's a famous composer who's worked with people like Philip Glass. I'm like,
yeah,
good. I never knew that. And it's all these people have done these incredible things. It's all but down to asking and then listening. And it is remarkable. Everyone's got a story. And it's when you hear all these stories, it's beautiful. Whereas if you see the world just through your own experiences and you want to tell everyone about what you're doing, then you don't become much richer. And life is so rich. It really is.
Yes. And you learn, don't you, from that? And some of the greatest experiences I've had was during the time when my daughters were growing up, when I actually went into lecturing for a few years. I had the pleasure of going to some care homes to assess students in their workplace and watch them communicate with elderly people. And the stories that some of these elderly people were telling were incredible. You know, the lives that they'd lived, the jobs that they'd done, you know, about the war years, the food that they used to eat. And, you know, we will lose some of this, you know, when we lose these old people or elderly people. And it's fascinating what they've got to say. And there's so many stories, aren't there, about, you know, of people's lives, of which I'm particularly interested because I actually look at personal and business mentoring, is how can we preserve information, you know, so we preserve information in books, we preserve information in training courses, you know, your book that you're writing, all of those things. And it's, we learn, don't we, by reading, listening, watching. And over the lockdown period, I've actually recently, I'll send this to you actually, because you'll find it quite interesting, is there was a study done about how people have been actually taking on board information over this period. And they put it into the different age group, you know, like the baby boomers, the Gen Z, the Gen Ys, the millennials. and everybody takes on board information in a whole different way. It's absolutely fascinating the amount of video and information that we take on board now, communicating through video and pictures. And everything is freely available. Whereas, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about when we didn't have a photocopier in the office or a computer on the desk, you know, and it was all done on Gestetner, which was these like printing presses. You know, one mistake and you had to start again type of thing. So it's a fascinating subject, isn't it? Communication and how we record
it. Yeah, one of the guys, we're getting a bit of an echo there. A friend of mine, Ian Levitt, over in Sydney, he's a professor of neuroscience, and he was talking about the level of communication in technology. This is a whole different podcast, but
yeah, that's okay.
The data that we have to take in and what it's, he's actually written a piece called Why Smartphones Are Making Us Dumb. It's just it's phenomenal. Something like 20,000 messages a day we are given. I mean, when I'm watching TV, if it's a commercial channel, I mute the adverts. Now, someone who's been in advertising for 30 years, I used to love the adverts, but now I'm like, I can't stand them.
Yeah.
it's noisy and it's a lot of it's brash, and you've got to buy this because if you don't, you're not as cool or all that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, but also you know what they're doing, Simon. You know what that scenario is. You know, it's like if you've been a film or producer, you know, for a number of years, you can go, oh, they did a really good angle there, you know. So you're looking at things from a whole different way. Yeah. And that's exactly what this report says, is we have taken on board that digital information so differently over the last 2 years. You know, and the other side of that is people coming out of this lockdown situation, you know, with different thoughts about things even. You know, they've changed their perspective on life. They need to rebuild their communication because they haven't actually been out talking to lots of people. Lots of people have been living alone. And in actual fact, I was reading something on one of my social media channels this morning about a lady that was interviewing somebody that had lived in Antarctica for a long time and how she coped with that solitude, you know, which a lot of people have obviously had to go through during the pandemic period of lockdown, and the effect that that has had on her, or the effect that that has on people's ability then to go out and be confident and communicate again in their own way. So, you know, it's a fascinating subject, isn't it? The other points that I was going to say actually was the expectation of communication as well. Is some people don't have the same, you know, level of education, have had the same availability of communication. Children that live in homes that haven't got lots of technology because they can't afford it. So everybody has to go through, you know, communicating in their own way to get what they need. And that's the understanding and listening from the person that's taking on board that information. We were talking this morning about young carers, weren't we? We've actually had quite a great conversation today.
We have actually. Yeah, this podcast is actually quite short. we've been chatting for nearly an hour now. So I've got three more questions for you, Bevan, and I appreciate your time on this. It's great.
Oh, that's okay.
So tell me something that not many people know about you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to go into the whole thing here, but I've had a really, really fascinating and life from, you know, sort of fairly humble starts, really, living on my wits, being very entrepreneurial. And I said to somebody the other day, I've probably only worked for other people for a 10 or 20% of my whole working life. The rest of it has been building, growing and selling businesses. One thing that people don't know about me is my sporty background, actually, and something that people wouldn't usually associate is I actually used to do target shooting, 2-2 rifle shooting.
Wow.
And I actually have a medal for target shooting from league shooting. And I shot at Bisley in competition. And I actually stopped, and the only reason I stopped prone shooting, which is when you lie on the floor with very strapped up with a scope and your 2-2 rifle, is because of when I actually had my children, so I couldn't lie down flat.
of course, God, amazing. We're one of the directors at the IB. She's a brilliant artist, and she's also an axe thrower.
Oh my God.
Incredible. It's amazing. Again, when you ask people, you know, what it's something I used to run networking events years ago. Mm. I kind of got fed up of asking people, so what do you do then? And what is your business?
Yeah.
And to be honest, they were getting a bit bored of talking about it as well. So one of the things I used to say is, what are you passionate about outside of work? Suddenly they'd light up.
This is so true. And this is the whole context of these LinkedIn local programs that I run down in Dorset. And we call it a social off media. So I have about 900 companies in this group. And, you know, when they come out, there's usually between 30 and 60 of them that will come along and talk. And the idea of it is to get people to know people behind their profiles on social media, business media. And the collaborative things that have come out of that, like walking groups, marketing groups, you know, just people collecting together that have got common interests. And you know, like you've just said, finding out about people is something that you wouldn't have ordinarily known from their profile. So the LinkedIn local that I run, where I raise funds for charity, are non-profit events. We get sponsors to cover things like food and drink. And it gives everybody a boost for their business, but also it gets people offline and talking about things that they, as you just said, feel passionate about outside of their work environments. It's a really great way to get to know people.
It is absolutely. Everyone's got an incredible story to tell, really is. And that's what I was saying with these podcasts. It's fascinating. Okay, so the penultimate question for you, Beverly. So you're on your deathbed, it's very morbid, and everything you've created, everything you've written, this interview has disappeared, nothing left. You've got one sentence to, or one bit of advice to leave the world. What would it be?
Oh, my goodness. I have absolutely got this down to a T now, because this is something I've said to my daughters ever since they were little. And it's whatever you worry about will turn out okay in the end. And if I turn that into the other way around, is what did you ever worry about that didn't turn out okay in the end? Because everything has a conclusion.
Yeah.
Good or bad, everything has a conclusion. And my daughter loves this comment so much that she had it tattooed down her spine so that she could keep it with her. And it says in Spanish, everything turns out okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
You're right. And that one of the things I love is you have 100% success rate of getting through crappy days.
That's
true. It's true, isn't it?
You know, the other thing as well here, Simon, is everything is worse at night times. Your mind runs at night times. Yeah. And I always say to everybody, and when my girls were like really busy, or anybody that I see in a business clinic, or if they're feeling stressed, which is something else we've talked about earlier this morning, is there's nothing else you can do today. It's now time to sleep. You know, and make a note of the things that are really troubling you, or the burning issue in your head in the morning, get some help for that. You know, there are people out there that will willingly give you some time and listen to you if you really need some help. But everything turns out okay in the end. Every day has a successful end. And everything is okay in the morning. Start a new day. Yeah.
If you're above ground and breathing, and you are, you know, you've got an opportunity to make a difference.
Absolutely.
So just my final question, how can people get hold of you, Beverly?
All right, okay. So people can get hold of me at beverlypool@live.co.uk if they want to have a quick chat. And beverlypoolconsultancy.co.uk if they'd like to have a look at what I do. And the other thing, because obviously we're having a podcast here, is I actually have also a training portal. So if people are looking to upskill or take on board some new things this weekend, they can have a look at Aspire for Business Academy and see what they can find on there.
Fantastic. What we'll do, we'll put all the links on the podcast page anyway. But Beverly, you've been a fantastic star. Thank you so much.
That's okay. Thank you so much for having me, Simon. And good luck with your bike ride you've got coming up.
Thank you very much. So that's it for this podcast. Again, I say this at the end, if you've got an interesting story, something you think will actually be of value to the members and other people who listen to the podcast, we're almost at 2,000 downloads now in the middle of August of 2021. Wow. Just get in touch, marketing@iab.org.uk. But until then, I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast and speak to you soon. Take care. Bye.